Wow, they did awesome. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me ask you to find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. Brother Robert, could you wait for just a moment to put that up? If you found Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? You can follow along in your copy of the scriptures or listening to these boys and girls behind me. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. Oh, Vaclav. God bless you. You can be seated. Boys and girls, you can go back to mom and dad. So again, MVOTW, memory verse of the week, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Let me share a message with you this morning entitled Lost and Found. Lost and Found. So as I said a moment ago, last Monday morning at approximately 8 o'clock, there were 37 from Emory Baptist Church in both of our church vans and then one personal vehicle driving about 90 minutes to Cedar Hill for preteen camp at Mount Lebanon. Just out of curiosity, if you, not the campers that were just behind me, but if you've ever attended Mount Lebanon, would you raise your hand and let me see? Quite a few, all across the auditorium, adults and teenagers. Well, we joined over 800 other preteens at Mount Lebanon this past week. And the reason that we have gone to Mount Lebanon, this was the second summer that we did. We had planned to go last summer, but things changed. But we did go in 2019. At Mount Lebanon, that is a Dallas Baptist Association camp. However, there are other churches beyond the Dallas Baptist Association that attend that camp. There was a church from Bryan. There was a church from Temple. There was a church from Waco, I believe as far west as Glenrose, and then multiple Metroplex churches as well as East Texas churches. I think the largest church group there was Fielder Road Baptist Church with 180 preteens. But then also some of our neighbors were there. First Baptist Terrell was there, and First Baptist Quitman, and First Baptist Canton. So some people that we see oftentimes, particularly in extracurricular activities or in our area. So it's a really good camp for us to attend. As I mentioned, of our 37 that attended, 8 were shepherds, and I want you to know I am so grateful and thankful for our shepherds. Shepherding our 6th grade boys for the week was Chris Henderson. Shepherding a combination of 5th grade and 4th grade boys was Keith Wallace. And then shepherding a combination of 4th grade boys and 3rd grade boys was Brother Richard. For our girls, shepherding the 6th grade girls was Grace Henderson. 5th grade girls was Brigetta Heiser. We didn't have any 4th grade girls this year, but 3rd grade girls, Christine McAllister. Ashley Miller is our own personal nurse. There is a camp nurse, but we are blessed to take our own nurse. And it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege for Ashley to use her talents and gifts and abilities in that capacity, so we don't have to go to the camp nurse. We have our own nurse that goes with us everywhere we go. And then not only the brains, but the beauty behind all of it is Teresa Runyon. She is a veteran camper and camp leader, and she has been doing it for a number of years. And she is our own group administrator and does a wonderful job at that. But all of those folks, those were the 8 adults that went. And then of the 29 campers, we had 2-1, boys over girls. We had 20 boys and 9 girls. It isn't always that true. That's not always the case, but this year it happened to be. So again, I am grateful and thankful for all of those campers and all of those shepherds. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Allow me to read it again, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word. Boys and girls, if you brought your camp Bible today, and if you have not been able to find Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 yet, it's on page 498. We encourage them to use book, chapter, and verse references, but we also teach them how to use the table of contents. And as a last resort, we reference page numbers. Jesus said, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." When he talks about the Son of Man, Jesus is referencing himself. That was his favorite title for himself, the Son of Man. Reminding all of those who were listening that not only was he fully God, but he was also fully man. He was fully man just like we are. And so he said about himself, the Son of Man came to seek, to look for, as that song we just sang, "We'll light up every shadow, climb up every wall, break down every lie." He is seeking, but not just seeking. Seeking for a very specific reason. To save. To save the lost. Now what that implies, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, is that there is something called lostness. And it is the opposite of being saved. And as we go on this morning, I'll make that abundantly clear as to what it is. But know, our memory verse for the week, our theme of camp, my message to you this morning regarding lost and found, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now Jesus says that in this context of the story of Zacchaeus. If you've ever been around a church for any period of time or attended a vacation Bible school, you might know that story of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree to what? To see what he could see. The scriptures tell us here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 2, that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He collected taxes for the Romans, but in this description, "and he was wealthy," reminds us and lets us know that he was also keeping a little bit for himself. He was not looked upon favorably in society, in culture, among the Jews. They thought he was a traitor working for the Romans. And not only was he a traitor, but then he was stealing on top of that. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. Verse 3 says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so what did he do? Well, he ran up to that sycamore tree and climbed it to see what he could see. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, they had not met previously, but Jesus, not only fully man, but also fully God, he knew well who Zacchaeus was and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must go to your house today. And so Zacchaeus did what Jesus told him to do. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. The people who saw this happening did not like Jesus' friends. They did not like the people that Jesus was hanging out with. They did not like his associates. And they began to talk about it. But notice what happened in Zacchaeus' life. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, you won't find these particular words, but you do see this action simply in going to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus believed and repented. He believed and he repented. This past week at preteen camp, the preacher for the week was a man by the name of Jesse Joyner. And one of Jesse's gifts and talents and abilities is juggling. And so oftentimes he communicated his message in God's word through juggling various items. And one illustration that he gave, and I'm going to bring it back for our campers this morning, but also for those of you else, others of you, I think that you will recognize it as well. He had hula hoops, and he was juggling hula hoops one night. And to demonstrate repentance, he threw that hula hoop out across the stage and watched it what? Spin back. He grabbed it at the top and threw it, and it went out so far, and then, boys and girls, what did it do? It backed up. And he did it several times to illustrate the idea of repentance. You're going in one direction and then you change direction. Zacchaeus was going in one direction, but he met Jesus and he changed direction. He said, I will give back. I'll give back four times if I've cheated anybody. And to confirm what we already knew, verse 9, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I want you to know first of all this morning that Jesus is a seeking Savior. He is a seeking Savior. And moms and dads, I want you to know this morning as plainly and as clearly as I can, not only is he seeking your little boy and little girl, but he's seeking you. He is seeking you to have a personal, saving relationship with you. Yes, your son. Yes, your daughter. Yes, your grandson. Yes, your granddaughter. But you as well. Jesus is a seeking Savior. Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was seeking him. How do I know, Brother Richard, if God is seeking me? Well, let me give you a couple of things to think about. First of all, if God has ever been at work in your life, if God has crossed your path with someone who may have invited you to Emory Baptist Church, or to any church for that matter, if God has been at work in your life and crossed your path with someone who brought your kid to preteen camp, or vacation Bible school, or someone in your neighborhood invited you to read a gospel tract or to hear their testimony, I want you to know that is proof, that is evidence that God is seeking you. And then secondly, probably more so than the first, if you are within the sound of my voice this morning in this room or online, you should know God is seeking you. Because I'm sharing with you the message this morning of the good news of Christ. And you're not here by accident. You're here by providence. Because Jesus is a seeking Savior. But Jesus not only said this as it relates to Zacchaeus, but Jesus demonstrated such earlier in Luke chapter 15. So would you go back to Luke chapter 15 for just a moment? Luke chapter 15 contains three parables that are well known to many. And I would suggest to you that these three parables are to be taught and understood together, not individually, but together. And we looked each night this week at all three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son. You know the parables. That first parable there in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. The parable of the lost sheep. Verse 3 says that, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And then the parable of the lost coin, verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? This imagery, I hope that you saw this imagery in that song we just sang, Reckless Love. Just as a side note, there's been much made of that word reckless. And I want you to know that is not a bad word as it relates to God's love. It doesn't mean that he's not controlled. It just means that nothing is going to stand in his way from loving you. And in the same way, oftentimes we have to understand the context when we read passages of Scripture in the Gospels, like when Jesus says, you have to hate your father and mother. We have to understand the context, and perhaps that may not mean exactly what we think it means on first sound. God is not reckless, meaning that he's out of control. It just means that he's not going to have any reservation or any hesitation in coming after you. As the shepherd went after his sheep, and the lady went after her coin. And then in the parable of the lost son, verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons." And you know the rest of that parable. The younger son, while still living, went to his father and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait until you die. I want it now." Sounds pretty audacious, doesn't it? It was audacious then. It's audacious now. But regardless, that's what the younger son did. And the scriptures tell us that he wasted that inheritance. He squandered it. The phrase that the Bible uses is loose living, sexual immorality, promiscuity. And he found himself a young Jewish man feeding pigs. That's not normally what young Jewish men did. But that's where he found himself. And he thought to himself, "My dad's servants are treated better than I'm being treated. Why don't I just go back to my dad and apologize and try to be reconciled?" The Bible says he came to his senses and went back to his father. It's interesting, all three of these parables. Not only do I want you to know that Jesus is a seeking Savior, but listen to this quote closely. Secondly, I want you to know that when the quantity of the lost goes down, its value goes up. Let me say that again. When the quantity of the lost goes down or decreases, the value of the object or that which is lost goes up or increases. Think about this. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd had 100 sheep. And if one of them is lost, he still has 99% of his flock. But then the quantity decreases. In the parable of the coin, the woman doesn't have 99 coins, she only has 10. And she loses one, but she still has 90% of what she had previously. But then in the next parable, the quantity goes down. The father had two sons, and he lost one temporarily, but he still had 50% of his sons. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one you. There's only one you. There's only one you created in the image of God, and you are not like anybody else but you. And your value to God is immeasurable. To the degree that he is a seeking Savior and he will come after you with reckless abandonment, because he wants to have a personal saving relationship with you. The only you that there is. And then finally, notice in all three parables, when what is lost is found, God rejoices. And so should we. God rejoices, and so should we. Look at verse 5. And when he finds it, when the shepherd finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Look at verse 9. "And when she finds it," when the woman finds the lost coin, "she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then the parable of the lost son, verse 22. "After the younger son came to his senses, came back to his father, but the father said to his servants, 'Quick! Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." One picture that we saw all week long was this picture and this idea of metal detecting. You know what that is. You may know someone, or you may have for yourself a metal detector, and you use it. And so all week long, we saw this video series about Jesse the Stuff Finder. That was the camp preacher who, during the day, he was always with his metal detector throughout the campgrounds looking for stuff. And all week long, he found coins, and he found aluminum cans, and he found old spark plugs, and he found pieces of scrap metal. And every time he would show us on video, and he would say, "It once was lost, but boys and girls, what would we then say? Now it's found." That's right. I want you to know that some of these boys and girls this week, they went to camp lost, but now they're found, because Jesus was seeking them. And moms and dads, Jesus is seeking you this morning. And he is willing to go to great lengths, because there's only one of you. And he wants to be Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants for you to have a home in heaven when you die. He wants to have a personal and saving relationship with you now. In just a moment after I finish praying, Brother Ronnie and I are going to be standing here at the front, and we're going to offer you an opportunity today to respond to God's word. Maybe moms and dads, that maybe means for you that, yeah, I understand. Jesus is seeking me. And I'm ready today to answer that call to salvation. We'll be here at the front. We'll love to pray with you. Love to celebrate with you. Love to rejoice with you. Set you on that path of discipleship and becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Boys and girls, some of you who made decisions at camp, if you made decision at camp this week and you responded to an invitation at camp, I'm going to invite you to come forward this morning so that our church can know that and we can share with them what has taken place in your life this past week. Maybe you're a guest here this morning, and you've been thinking about and wondering, I wonder if God would want me to be formally and officially a part of Emory Baptist Church. Well, If God wants you to be a part of a church that values children and values teenagers and wants to share the gospel with them and disciple them in the ways of the Lord, then Emory Baptist Church may be for you. But you be sure to follow the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. Lost and found. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you for the week that we had at preteen camp. Father, I ask and pray that moms and dads all across the auditorium this morning would recognize that you, Jesus, are a seeking Savior, and that you are wanting to be Lord and Savior of their lives, just as their campers this week have understood. Soften their hearts, open their eyes, connect these dots for them. Father, give them faith to believe so that they might answer the call to salvation. Pray, Father, today you'd give courage and boldness to our guests today to respond as your Spirit is leading them. There may be someone this morning who they're already saved, but they need to be faithful in following believers' baptism. Give them courage to let our church know that as well, publicly. Father, we trust you to be at work in our midst and to have your way during our invitation this morning. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Would you respond today during this time of invitation to God's word?